When I walked into this place, I sensed His presence. And I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple, Jehovah God abides in, and we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Thank you, Jesus. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Jesus, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Jesus, in His presence there is joy beyond measure, and at His feet peace of mind can be found. Need, He's the answer. Just reach out and take it, for you are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Let us
Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Let's stand for a moment this morning. I'm in the book of Romans, the sixth chapter. Romans, the sixth chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Amen. After all that we've learned, we're not about to do that, are we? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Everybody say, God forbid.
God forbid.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Amen. You may be seated. A lot of folks today are singing, "He's alive, he's alive. He arose up from the dead, he arose." And I'm so thankful to know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus did rise from the dead. And I'm thankful in many ways, but one thing that causes me to be very, very thankful that I can stand here today and say, I'm alive. I have risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. You can say, we're alive. The same power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead is the exact same power that it took for us to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you get to thinking about what you've got. You've got the power to raise the dead living inside of you right now. Hallelujah. There is no greater miracle than being filled with the Spirit of Christ in you, the hope of glory, arising from the dead, dead in trespasses of sin, dead in the ways of this world, not alive unto God, not even aware some in many cases that there is a God, until something comes along, a trumpet sounds, something is heard that's beyond the ordinary, the preaching of the word, the testimonies of the saints, and the grave burst open, and a sinner, amen, suddenly becomes a child of God, leaving sin behind, hallelujah, and arising to walk in newness of life, amen. And it takes the same thing for us to continue to walk with God as it did for Jesus to continue to walk with God. Amen. When He got up from the dead. And we have exactly the same ability that Jesus had when He got up from the dead to live for God. Amen. No difference whatsoever. Praise God, because it's the same God inside of us that was in Christ reconciling us to God. Praise God. That's why there's such a strong lesson here on and how to yield. If we go into verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were, it's past tense, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Amen. Paul wrote on, he said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. What he's saying here is that what I'm writing here is something that is very spiritual, but I'm trying to write it with words that can be understood by the mortal humanity that you are. There are some people that have a difficult time understanding these wonderful deep truths that are in the Word of God, containing words like walking in newness of life, being alive with Him, risen from the dead with Him, with Christ. Sometimes we can't really fully comprehend these things because we're limited to our normal way of thinking. But if we can just rise up a little bit higher and realize we're beyond what we appear to be, amen, we're not just people anymore. Praise God, we've been begotten by the same power that brought forth the only begotten Son of God. Now are you sons of God. Hallelujah. You've been begotten by the Word of God. Well, so was Jesus. Praise God. The Word in the beginning that was with God was God. The Word that was in the beginning that was God and with God became Emmanuel, God with us. Christ, the hope of glory, became our God who came in the flesh, reconciling humanity unto Him, teaching people, if you will come unto Me, although you have a heavy load to carry, come unto Me, I'll give you rest. No matter what's wrong in your life, I can deliver you. No matter what you've been going through, I can take you through something better. Praise God. No matter how dark the way, I'll give you light. I am your light. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God was in Christ reconciling the world. I'm going to tell you the difference in Jesus Christ and me. Amen. Jesus Christ was born with the Holy Ghost. And I had to get baptized and receive it. Praise God, because the Holy Ghost is not going to find its abode in sinful living. Praise God. But Jesus Christ was foreplanned by God Almighty. That's why a virgin conceived. That's why the Holy Spirit was the Father and not a man. But the Father is God and a virgin conceived. It's just as supernatural as God reaching down to this earth and bypassing all things that make sense to us and scooping up the dust of earth and breathing breath into that dirt and saying, you are a living soul. Amen. Hallelujah. I could spend all day trying to figure out how God put a baby in Mary's womb. I don't understand how God does anything, but I'm glad a baby did come forth of a virgin born of the Spirit of God who gave us a plan on how we could be born again and become brothers and sisters and sons and daughters with that same Jesus Christ in the Spirit that is in Him, also inside of us, where our ability to just cry out goes beyond the ability of human mortals to hear. But we're heard by the ears of God. I need help. My spirit says, Daddy, Abba, Father, I'm calling on you. And Daddy responds, My sheep hear me, and they know my voice, and I hear my sheep. Hallelujah. I hear my sheep. My children cry out to me, and I hear them. I know what you need before you ask. It's Resurrection Day. Power to Rise Day. Power to Live Again Day. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven someday out there somewhere to enjoy the power of God's ability to raise you from the dead. Hallelujah. We're made to sit together with Him in heavenly places right here today. Amen. Hallelujah. So we started off, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There are some people that will say, yes, you can't keep from doing that. You have to sin more or less every day. Well, that depends on whose servant you are. Amen. The folks who teach that you have to sin more or less every day are also teaching that you're saved when you're not saved. So naturally, they can't keep from sinning more or less every day if they're not saved. Because salvation is deeper than just accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. There is a salvation plan that includes accepting Christ as your personal Savior. There is a salvation plan that includes confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus lived and died and rose again. There is a salvation plan, but most people don't know how to get in on that. And a lot of times they'll hear about that and say, oh, that sounds easy. So I do confess with my mouth and I do believe in my heart that Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead. So now I'm saved. Wait just a minute. Don't stop there. There's some more in the Word that needs to be considered. Hallelujah. I told somebody the other day who was trying to claim that you can get saved by doing what's written in the book of Romans. Follow the Romans road. Follow the Romans road to salvation. I told him, you're reading somebody else's mail. That was a letter delivered to the saints who had repented of their sins and been baptized, had been buried with Christ in water baptism in the name of the Lord. That was a letter written to resurrected people who had been filled with the power to cause them to be able to walk in newness of life with the resurrected Lord, having fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Everywhere we go, we have the one inside of us who said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Hallelujah. That's why we need to do everything in the name of Jesus. But I told this gentleman, as he was saying, I followed the Romans road and got saved. You can't do that unless you're already saved. Hallelujah. There's such thing as a person dead in the trespasses of sin trying to live on the promises of God that are reserved for His children. And then there are the people of God who have come alive and made some mistakes and they need to get things worked out because Daddy's watching. And so what we need to do, we in the church, we need to just realize once in a while and remind ourselves, and we do this with testimonies, with singing, with preaching and teaching. We come to church, we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We come together and we remind each other, amen, no matter what went wrong, no matter what happened to cause us to feel like the rug's been pulled out from under us, no matter what kind of bad thought came into our skull, no matter what kind of mistake we made, we're here assembled together again in the name of the Lord Jesus to remind each other. We're His servants. Hallelujah. And all we got to do is get this back in our heart again. Believe it with all my heart. I am a child of God. There's not anything the devil's ever done to me that's going to cause me to go back into that grave and be like I was before. I have been raised from the dead.
and I'm not going to go back to where I came from. I am a child of God. I believe it with my heart. Amen. Testimony service is confessing with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I thank God for the Holy Ghost and all He means to me. I praise God that He brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. I've had a bad week, but I've got a good God. I've made some mistakes, but my God is able. I had some problems, but my Lord Jesus is a problem solver. I went through a valley, but He's bringing me to a mountaintop. Hallelujah. I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus Christ died and lived and rose again. And I died, but I live. And I messed up a few times, but I'm alive and I'm serving Him. Hallelujah. I still have to carry this hide around with me. It was immersed in water in baptism in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus was baptized, but He didn't have to have anybody say, "I now baptize you in the name of Jesus." He went down in Jesus because He was Jesus. Jesus didn't get baptized for the remission of sins because He was not a sinner. Amen. He hadn't sinned. But He did it to fulfill all righteousness, to show us you need to get in the water and you need to go down under the water. But since you're not Jesus, you need to have the name that is able to take your sin away from you. So have somebody put you in the water in the name which is above all names. The example is go down under the water like Jesus did. But since you're not Jesus, you need to do it in His name. He's the only one that has the name that can set you free from sin. Hallelujah. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When people get healed, they're healed because of the power that's in the name of Jesus. You can lay hands on people all day long and maybe nothing will happen. But when you start using that name of the Lord with the power of God that's in your life, God is backing you. You have the same power to deliver people from distress and all kinds of affliction in the name of Jesus that Jesus had when He caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk and leap. Our problem sometimes is we let doubts enter into our minds. And we need to go back and look at the life of Jesus because He was the most positive individual that ever lived on the face of the earth. It didn't matter how it looked, what went wrong, what the mob was up to. He knew where He stood. He was a child of God, and He had an example to set, and He would not let anything stand in His way. No amount of devils, no amount of temptation. He was a victorious child of God who was going to show us the way to be a child of God. But since you're not Jesus, you need to call on Him for help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not my own power, not my own might, but I am alive again. Hallelujah. I was born the first time, and just an innocent little baby. I didn't know what was going on. I don't remember when I first became aware that I was alive, but somewhere a long time ago, before I started telling lies, before I started stealing little toys, before I started sneaking around and trying things, I became aware something's going on. I'm hearing voices. There are things moving I see with my eyes. I got fingers. I remember lying. Very small child. I remember this real well. I don't know how old I was. I probably wasn't over 2 years old, maybe less. I don't know. But I remember discovering my fingers. I was lying there. I remember the scene. I remember my mama She was ironing. It was in a room in Moark, Arkansas. I was a little baby. Just a little baby. I might have been 3 years old. I don't know. It's hard to recall exactly how old you are when you first remember, when you first are aware that things are happening. But I remember holding my fingers up and, wow. And my mama said, "What you do?" I said, She said, "Those are your fingers." Fingers. Inga. Fingers. 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 Yeah, fingers. Fingers. Somebody asked me when I was a child, I must have been 4 years old, said, "What color is your hair?" And I said, "Buttermilk and blue." Well, somebody told me that when I was a little baby, and I was learning things when I was a child. And somebody said, "My, you got such hair. Your hair is so beautiful. It's buttermilk and blue." And I thought they were telling the truth. You know, when you're a child, you just believe what you're told. Especially when it's adults. And they didn't know where I got that. But I didn't know till I was about 6 years old that the reason they were laughing was because it was funny. I thought they were laughing because I was saying the right things and it was making them happy. "What color is your hair?" "Buttermilk and blue." "What's your daddy's name?" "Daddy." I told people my daddy's name was Daddy for a long time. Yeah. Amen. I didn't know my daddy had another name. Praise God. "What's your daddy's name?" "Daddy." "What's your mommy's name?" "Mommy." Amen. You know, a lot of folks even get born again. They don't really realize what a blessing they got until they've walked with God for a while. Then they start looking at their hands, and their hands look new. What is this? Hey, these are hands that can lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, and they can recover. Amen. "What's your daddy's name?" "Father?" Uh-uh. Come on, think again. "What's your daddy's name?" "Jesus." Ah, you know, when it finally dawns on you that your heavenly Father is Jesus, praise God. Whatever you do in the name of Jesus. Just think about it. You know, I needed a cosigner when I was buying my first car. I had to go to my dad and say, "Dad, will you cosign for me?" He said, "I know I'm making a mistake, but I'm going to do it." And he made a mistake. But he was my daddy, and he loved me. But you know what? I couldn't have bought that car had it not been for his name on the dotted line. Praise God. Hallelujah. There have been times in my younger experience in God when there were things I needed that I just didn't know how to get. So I just called on my Heavenly Father, and he gave me a name that was able to get it done. Hallelujah. Whatsoever you ask, seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened. Who's he talking to? His kids. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What color is your hair? Buttermilk and blue. Amen. Because I was learning. I didn't know. There have been a lot of people walking with God. They don't really know how to explain a lot of things. But you don't have to know how to explain everything. Just stay in Father's house. Keep eating at the table that's prepared for the children that belong to this. Hallelujah. Sooner or later you'll find out what color your hair is. Sooner or later you'll find out what those little things are that wiggle on your hands or fingers. Praise God. You'll find out what your feet are meant for. They're meant for walking with God. Hallelujah. Sooner or later you find out that your words that you speak are things that you have learned that you can use as a tool to teach others about your Heavenly Father.
Amen. And we can walk in memories of the way it used to be. And the carnal nature wants to drag us back because we're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I wasn't born of a virgin. Amen. The Holy Ghost wasn't inside of me when I came out of the womb. I needed the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. My Heavenly Father was wanting to become my Heavenly Father, but my father was Marvin Rutledge. Amen. And you don't have to go very far back in our background to find that you don't want to keep going very far in our family history. Amen. Because I started tracing our family tree once, and I was so proud. My grandpa on my mother's side was a preacher. And here I am, a preacher. My daddy was a preacher. But I have to be looking back just a little bit beyond their lives, back in the days of, you know, the Wild West and all that, and seeing what my family ties, what was handed down to me. I found a horse thief. I found a Rutledge that was a horse thief. A thief. I found people, and not very far back, that were liars, drunkards. And I decided I don't really care about my family tree that much. I just keep it short. Start with my grandpa Rooks. 1906, I believe it was. He came into this world just a little baby. Just a little baby. Like any other little baby. Amen. No, not 1906. Back in the 1800s, about 1876, he came into this world. Just an ordinary little baby. But 1906, he was standing around with a whiskey bottle in his back pocket and considering something that had been said by a preacher that came to town. Preacher had said that the only way you can get baptized is in the name of Jesus. And if you don't get baptized in Jesus' name, you're not saved. Amen. It made my grandpa mad because he was still walking after the ways of this world. He'd spent his young adult life claiming to be a Christian because he had accepted Christ as his personal Savior, as his Lord. He had made confessions with the mouth and believed what he thought to be from his heart. Jesus did die and live again. He had been baptized by immersion in the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he felt like he was all right, although he couldn't keep from sinning more or less every day. Amen. But when that preacher came into the community saying, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name, it made him mad because his carnal nature kicked in. And he just decided he was going to prove that preacher wrong. Amen. He opened up his Bible and he read over and over Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. He stuck his finger in his Bible, told his wife and kids, I'm going to go set that preacher straight. I'm going to go straighten that preacher out tonight. He went to the revival meeting with his finger in his Bible. Went up, sat toward the front, waiting on the preacher to get up. And the preacher opened up his Bible, and he said, I'm going to take my text at Matthew 28:19. A little while later, as the children and Mama was waiting on the front porch, here come Dad Rooks, soaking wet. It wasn't sweat. What's going on, Paul? Why are you so wet? Well, went down to the church and the preacher took his text on Matthew 28:19 and I saw something I've never seen before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they took me to the water and buried me. Buried me. Buried me with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And now I'm alive. Hallelujah. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. A lot of miracles happened in his life. I've told you about the chopping axe. Some of you haven't heard it. He had 12 children. My mother was one of them. that traveled around. When I was young, my first memory of my grandpa Rooks was he was riding an old, hurry up and settle it down, all right? He was driving an old green car with a chicken coop on the back of it. And I was just a little boy. And I remember this day real well. My Uncle Ted had just gotten out of prison. And I didn't know him because he'd been in prison all my life. And he came in. We were in Sulphur Rock, Arkansas. And he came into the house where we were. And I had been out playing with old wagon wheels and things, old scrap iron. Back in those days, you could find wagon wheels and old tools from way back lying around in the yard, things that would probably be valuable now if you had your hands on them. But I was out there playing. I was just a little child. And I remember this man came in and walked straight to my mother and kissed her. And she stood up and hugged his neck. And I wonder, what is that man doing kissing my mama? Turned out it was her brother, who had been in prison, Uncle Ted. He just got out of prison. So that was my first. It's the reason I remember this so well. It made a lasting impression. I just knew when I was a little child, 5 and 6 years old, that the one supposed to be kissing my mama is either Daddy or Santa Claus. Amen. And so, they finally convinced me Uncle Ted was okay. Amen. And then my grandpa was sitting there with his walking stick and his bald head and his Bible. He always sat around with his Bible on his knee and his finger in it. I remember that real well. Always had his finger in his Bible. He was always studying on something. If you give him just a chance, he'd say, look here. And he'd have a new thought, something he wanted to talk about. And that was one of those days, and he started recalling some of the things that had gone on, and I asked him about that car out there. And they told me some things I didn't understand then, but I kept hearing it through the years to where it finally all come together. That car was used, they'd bought it with 17 dozen eggs. And that car was used to take his family around and just stop in a town and get out of the car, take an old black guitar and start strumming on it. My grandma would strum on the guitar and he would just take his walking stick and wave it in the air and say, Hallelujah! Come on over here, we're going to tell you something good. And they'd be in the center of a town and people would come see what it's all about. And they'd strum that old guitar and start singing songs like, coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. And my granddad would shout, Hallelujah! And but they would go to a town and do this with nobody there that knew them. Just a call of God saying, go this way until I tell you to stop. And they would stop and just walk down to the court square, town square, whatever, and just stand there and start singing and praising God. And always there would be somebody or two or three that would come around to see what is going on. And he would start talking about the things of God, and pretty soon there would be some tears and some eyes. And pretty soon, a revival would spring forth. It wasn't revival like we think of revivals today. It wasn't where they were going from church to church and going to get a nice offering, hear the choir sing, and sit on padded pews. No, this was people with just an old, broke-down automobile and no money, and nobody else had any money. And the only way they could survive would be if somebody knew that this family with 12 children was hungry and felt like helping them and giving them some food, and they would bring them chickens and eggs. That old chicken coop on the back of that car was the way they survived. They would just drive into a town and people would see that old car and they would just know, well, okay, we're going to come and hear this man preach. We need to bring him a chicken. And they'd bring him a chicken. He'd say, well, we don't have a way to cook it. Could you take it back home, cook it, and then bring it back? And they'd do it. One lady wanted to pay him, tithes off of her canned goods. And she brought him a big box full of sauerkraut. And he said, is this your tithing, you say, off of your fruit, off your canned goods? She said, yes. He said, did you raise anything besides kraut? Cabbage? You have anything canned besides sauerkraut? Well, yeah. And she started naming off of these other things that she had, but she said, I just thought I'd just bring you this. He said, look, lady, I don't like sauerkraut any more than you do. He said, you go, you want to pay tithes with this? He said, you go back and get some stuff that we can eat. She had a good spirit, she did. But those are the good old days I kept hearing about when I was growing up, and how they would pay their offerings with chickens and eggs, and they would just come to church, and they would start having church and go out into an old field out just outside of town, and people would just start coming together. Pretty soon somebody would say, you can use our property. And then they would start dragging pieces of wood out of the thicket, and they would set up what they called a brush arbor meeting. And we got old pictures and scrapbooks and things back home where they people just put these buildings together, but all it was just trees just kind of tied together with brush on the top of it. And they would get inside those little huts and they would just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. And people would receive the Holy Ghost. Get baptized in Jesus' name. And during those days, during those early 1900s, as they were going around baptizing people in the name of Jesus, they had been doing this over and over. And then one day my grandpa said, I think we're going to take a break for a while and we're going to settle down. And family all enjoyed that thought because they had been on the go for a long time, just depending on other people to bring them food, sleeping under shade trees and things like that, sleeping in the car, under the car, on top of the car. And he said, we're going to settle down. They went and they rented a little home. And the first night as they were unpacking, they got everything kind of unpacked out of the car. And they were lying around in the house. Middle of the night, he woke up and he said, we got to put everything back in the car. We got to take off again. And early the next morning, they took off. They said, where are we going, Paul? Where are we going? He said, I don't know. But when we get there, there'll be a man with a chopping axe. God's sending us to a place where there's a man with a chopping axe in a field at a crossroad. He said, God showed me last night. Now, I'm talking about my own granddad, but I'm talking about something that can happen for each one of you right now today. You can live like this by faith. We're living in a time when the world has made everything so convenient that we can get just about anything we want, and we don't have to depend on God anymore. But these people, these old timers that saw so many great things happen in their lives, they didn't have anything but Jesus. But that's all you need. And if you could ever realize you don't have anything, and start really depending on Jesus, miracles will happen in your life. I don't know where we're going. And they drove, and the old jalopy just started smoking, and it got hot, and things were... They said the car didn't roll, it actually walked. It had what you call boots on it, baling wire with pieces of rubber tied to the rubber, and just said it just kind of walked down an old gravel road. And they were going through the Ozarks, and they were traveling and just loafing with that old vehicle with that chicken coop on the back of it. And just going, and it was getting hot, and finally it just went, and wouldn't go anymore. Just stuck right there in the center of a crossroad. And one of the daughters said, Paul, what are we going to do now? He said, well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. He said, see that hill right there? Just watch it. You're going to see a man come over that hill in just a minute with a chopping axe. I'm talking about something that only God can do. Place they had never been before. Car stopped right there. He got out with his walking stick and his kids all sat there looking at him like he's crazy. And he just gazed off in the distance. Pretty soon there came a figure over that hill, a man carrying a chopping axe on his shoulder. My granddad took his walking stick and hollered, Hallelujah! And the man in the field picked up his chopping axe and said, Praise the Lord!
And they went running toward each other and embraced right out there in the middle of that field. And they started claiming that land for the name of Jesus. And for several months, people came from all over the country to get the Holy Ghost on that plot of ground. Hallelujah. A great army of Jesus' name, Holy Ghost baptized people came because somebody knew, I don't have anything, but I've got everything. I don't have to depend on my house. I don't have to depend on my automobile. I don't have to depend on how much money I got. I've got Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm a product of that kind of faith. I thank God for my heritage. Amen. I thank God I don't have to concentrate on the horse thief. Say, I'm like my horse thief. Amen. But I'm trying to be like my Jesus. It's the same Jesus Paul Rooks served. Amen. 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 He was preaching on a street corner and an Assembly of God preacher woman said, I like your preaching. Would you come and hold us a revival in our church? And they had an Assembly of God church not far out of town. He said, I'll be glad to. He went, started preaching, and preached Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, salvation every night. For a couple of weeks, the place just packed with people. Just packed with people. But sinners, but they loved this preaching. And he preached, and he preached, and he preached. After a couple of weeks, he said, all right, it's time for us to have a baptismal service. There was a creek right down at the end of the hill, down from that church. And he said, I want us to get all these folks baptized. Now today, you probably wouldn't hear of anybody doing it like this, but this is the way it was done that day. This Assembly of God pastor was standing there, and all of a sudden the evangelist is saying, it's time to get all these folks baptized. And he said, now I've been preaching to you Jesus' name, and I want to baptize y'all in the name of Jesus. How many of you want to get baptized? And a whole gang of people stood up. And the pastor said, wait just a minute. We don't do it in the name of Jesus here. Praise God. Granddad said, how many of you folks believe I've been preaching you the truth? And they all raised their hand. He said, follow me to the creek. He went walking right down the aisle of that church, and that whole congregation followed him and left that pastor woman, and one deacon said, please come back, please come back. And he baptized that whole congregation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a well-renowned, well-known celebrity name and lights preacher to have these great things happen. You can be a Mike White, a John Atkinson, a Joe Young. You can be a Sister Carolyn. You can be a Sister Judy. Just anywhere you are, realize, I've got Jesus. I've got resurrection power. I got power to raise the dead with me right now. I can walk up to a tomb and call a person to come forth. It doesn't matter how dead they are, how long they've been dead, or how much they stink. I'm a child of God, and I've got what Jesus had when He raised Lazarus. I can raise somebody from sin unto righteousness through the power that's given unto me. Hallelujah. You know, you may ask, well, why don't we see more people raised from the dead? There is evidence in many places today that people are being raised from the dead. But I don't really see a lot of reason to raise people from the dead physically. Once they've gone through life and they've lived and they've had all their pain and discomforts and they die, why put them through it again? But the ones that I'm familiar with that have been raised from the dead were Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-named people. And the Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-named people around them believed God so strong, they raised them from the dead. I got a video of 17 people that were raised from the dead, praising God and speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. But I don't really see so much importance in being able to raise physically people from the dead. But I see a lot of need for raising people from the dead. Dead in sin. And you know what? Nobody's going to do that except Jesus' people. Praise God. Lord, if you'd been here. Hallelujah. Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother had not died. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we've been in this area for a long time. I think it's about time for us to show up and say, look, you just may not understand, but this could have been happening for you a long time ago. But let me just demonstrate to you the power of the resurrection in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's time for you to live. Come forth from this old sinful way that you've been. Come forth. You're bound. Let's loose this person. Let's loose him. How are we going to do that? Praise God. Start speaking the name of Jesus. Start claiming the power that's in the name of Jesus. A few little songs can be in order. Clap those hands and praise the Lord. Loose him and let him go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've seen people rise from the dead right in our church services. Let us all stand together. I'm alive. Hallelujah. I'm not riding on Grandpa's coattail, but I got to hold the same God. Thank God. I thank God every day that I was born into a family that had some resurrection power in it already. Amen. But I had to get in on the same thing that any sinner has to get in on. I had to make a choice. I had to make sure that I went for Jesus myself, because my family ties didn't do it for me. But it sure made it convenient. Sure made it convenient. Praise God. Raised in church. My first awareness of noise was people praising God, dancing and jumping and speaking in tongues. That's as far back as I can remember. All I remember is just high heels hitting the floor around me. People falling and rolling. You know, I'd be underneath a bench and all of a sudden there'd be a face looking at me and mouth just speaking in tongues. I didn't know what it was. But I was just a baby. It was just a way of life. Amen. I couldn't hardly get any rest because they were having church. Amen. I went to church and they'd put me under the bench and I'd try to sleep. But I had to spend all my time figuring out where to crawl to. Because they had church. They didn't just go together and just have church. They had church. Hallelujah. And they testify. Ain't none of you here ever testified as long as those guys did. That's right. They testified. I mean, they didn't have any thought. There was no clock on the wall. There was no clock. Nobody even had wristwatches in those days. It was just, we went to church, and we wasn't going home till church was over. Praise God. They worked all day in the cotton fields and on the farms, and they were busy, hard-working people that got up before dawn, slopping the hogs and milking the cows and feeding the horses and taking care of the chickens and doing all they needed to do, and then going out and working till the sun went down. And it wasn't, what time does church start? It was, we got to get out of the fields and get to church so we can get church started. And they just came together. Nobody's looking at a clock. It didn't start at 7:30. They just gathered. And from the time they walked in the door, it was church. It didn't matter if just three people were there. They were testifying when they got there, saying, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for all He's done for me. And when they would bring me to church and put me under there, it went forever on and 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 on. And no matter how much I'd sleep, I'd wake up and it'd still be going. And the preacher could preach, and when he got through, there was some more. I had some testimonies. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We got it made. Time to go home at 9 o'clock. Time to go home at 12 noon on Sunday. Time to start at 7:30. Make sure we start on time. If you're a few minutes late, oh my, we shouldn't have been late. We need to start. Look, we just need to get together and let God be God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's come around the front. Church. What I'm saying today is almost unusual. It's strange. I mean, we're in a world today where we're supposed to do it like everybody else does it. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. My granddad could walk in here today, he'd say, what is all this stuff?
Thank you.
He used to tell my dad, say, you kids, he's talking to my father now. He'd say, you kids, you don't even know what church is all about. You got a hold of little end of the biggest thing that's ever happened. Man, if you could be where I've been, see what I've seen. Amen. You don't need a choir. If you want a choir, let it be people who just got filled with the Holy Ghost and can't stop singing. You don't have to train them how to harmonize. There's nothing more beautiful than harmony that comes from God. Remember those words, you know. That guitar they had hardly ever had more than 4 or 5 strings on it. It never in tune, didn't matter. Couldn't hear it anyway. They were shouting so loud. It was just emotion going on up there. Hallelujah. Praise God. They would beat 10 pans together because they didn't have money to get drums. They'd boom. Hallelujah. They'd bring spoons to church. Big old spoons. Play those spoons in rhythm. They'd bring old coffee pots. Some of them brought Prince Albert cans and clapped them together. Tobacco cans. You know. Clap them. They did washboards. They bring those old washboards to church and they'd take an old wooden spoon sometimes and it goes. They had church. They had tambourines. Most of them didn't have over 2 or 3 of those little jinglers left, but they had them. Praise God. And I remember one guy, he had a bass drum and he beat it with a cymbal. Boom! Boom! Boom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had church. Praise God. I'd just like to have church around here. In spite of all the stuff we got, regardless of what all we're able to do, I'd like to go back to being able to depend on God to the point it don't matter anymore. Just let God change us, mold us, make us. Cause us to be what He wants us to be. We're in a place right now where we have an opportunity to do more than we've ever thought we could possibly do. Hallelujah. God's not depending on our cameras. They're just little tools. Praise God. We're depending on God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord today. Praise Him that you're alive. Praise Him that you've been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I guess that's why it's in me to be in storefronts and not have a church building like some. I'm not against nice church buildings with padded pews, but I've got a pioneering spirit I think that's been handed down to me. It's in my blood. Maybe God wants it to be there. I don't know. But I'm just not satisfied if I'm stuck in a certain way that it has to be when we've got thousands of souls out here that are not going to crowd into this place, but they're hungry for God. I see this as just a place where we've met together to say, hallelujah! We're going to sing some songs, folks. We got something to tell you about. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. When I came to New England, I had preachers tell me the days of starting new churches, just going into a town and starting it like your grandpa did, those days are over. We don't do it that way anymore. You can't hardly get people to come to anything new anymore. You know what I did? Without them seeing it, when they weren't looking, I spat on them. On you. That was nothing but a devil speaking through forked tongues of people claiming to be preachers. The same God that was with Paul is with us. Same God that was with Peter is with us. Same God that was with my grandpa is with us. Hallelujah. What's happened is people have brainwashed themselves in thinking that the only way you can call it a church is if you got a building and you got a steeple and you got an organ and a piano and you got the carpet just right and the pews just right. And then you say, folks, come on now, we have a church. And they have all kinds of programs to build churches. Church in a day. We'll give you a church. We'll build you a building. Yes, we can talk about it in She's for Christ. We can talk about it in our offerings, how that we built you a church. But I'm talking about a church that God is building. That cannot be contained in these nice buildings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All a building needs to be used for is an assembling place after the church has been brought together out under the shade trees in the city marketplaces. Hallelujah. There's nothing more satisfying than just walking into a place and seeing a stranger, and suddenly realize that stranger was brought to your pathway by God. And just grabbing a hand, and it doesn't matter who's looking. Amen. You catch them all off guard. They don't know what to do with you. Time they think of something to do, it's all over with. Grab them, pray with them on the spot, and praise God that you got to meet them. That's what went on this past week with me, and I have had a thrill just walking with Jesus. Walked in to get my clothes cleaned at Barry's Laundry. And as I was walking out the door, here comes a little lady. And she looked up at me and I said, praise the Lord. She said, thank you, Jesus. And I grabbed her hand and had prayer with her and asked God to deliver her, whatever she's going through, and to help her. And she was saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And she went on in as I was going out, and I looked around and the people were kind of looking at me sideways. But that little lady had a big old smile on her face. Hallelujah.